power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound. My shelter, a tower of refuge and strength. I let every breath, oh, all that I am, and never cease to worship you. Sing it, church. Oh, shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and mountains bow down, oh, at the sound of your great name. I see joy, oh, at the work of your hand. Forever I love you, nothing compares. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise. Mountains bow down, oh, at the sound of your great name. I sing for joy. Forever I love you, nothing compares, nothing compares, nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Let's praise Him this morning. Let's give Him a love offering with our hands and with our voices. Lift Him up. Worthy is He. Amen. Could we sing that song, We Fall Down?
We fall down and we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus and the greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus, and we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy. We cry, holy. The Lamb.
Oh, just worship Him.
And we fall down and we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus and the greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. Oh, we cry, holy, holy.
Hallelujah. He's lovely. He's worthy to be praised, church. And good morning. God bless each and every one. So good to be with you. We just welcome Brother Burley's church and assembly here with us. It's just a blessing and honor to worship with you. Amen. I just feel the energy in the building this morning. And I just pray that you'll just get what God has in store for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing a song. Brother Keith requested this one. See the bright lights shine. Let's sing that, brother. Key of C musicians.
There's a light in the window. A table spread its splendor. Someone's standing by the open door. And I can see the crystal river. I must be near forever. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. We'll see the bright light shine. It's just about a home time. Oh, I can see my father standing at the door. See the family gather, sweet faces, they're all familiar, and no one's more to feeble anymore. Oh, my lonesome heart is crying. I think I'll spread my wings for flying. And Lord, I've never been this homesick before.
Come on, church.
We'll see the bright light shine. Oh, yeah. It's just about a whole time. Well, I can see my father standing at the door. This world has been a wilderness, and I'm waiting for deliverance. Been this homesick before.
Let's sing that first verse.
Well, there's a light in the window. Oh, the table spread its splendor.
Glory.
Someone's standing by the open door. I can see that crystal river. Lord, I must be near forever. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Hey, yeah, we'll see the bright light shine. It's just about a whole time. Well, I can see my father standing at the door. Hey, this world has been a wilderness, and I'm waiting for the runs. Oh Lord, I've never been this homesick before.
Sing it again.
Yeah, we'll see the bright light shine. Oh, yeah, I can see my father standing at the door. This world's been a wilderness. Lord, I've never been this homesick before.
Hallelujah.
Well, I'm so glad.
Okay, is that right? I'm so glad he found me. Let's sing that song together. Kick it up.
So glad he found me, in love he found me, put his arms around me, then he led me,
that's it,
to the shelter. Oh, now I'm born of his.
home in glory. Walk on streets and well, I was on the mountain, wandering from the fountain, when I heard my Savior speak to me. He said, come to me, relenting, oh, of your sins repenting, and I will lift you out where you can see. I'm so glad he found me. In love he found me. Put his arms around me. Oh, then he led me. Oh, to the shelter. And now I'm one of his very own. Him, no, never. He's the dearest friend I've ever knew. And when I see him yonder, oh, my love will just grow fonder. In that happy land beyond the blue. Sing it out. Kick it up to a different key. There it is. As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. He leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. And this would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour. Oh, through the pilgrim land, protect me by thy saving power. Oh, hear my feeble plea, dear Lord. kneel in prayer. I hope to meet you there, blessed Jesus. Hold my hand. Well, let me travel to the light divine that I may see the blessed way. And keep me and sing redemption song someday. See, I will be a soldier, brave and true, and ever firmly make that stand. And as I onward go and daily meet the foe, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Well, Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, I need the every hour, mile through this pilgrim land. Protect me by thy saving power. As I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. And when I wander through that valley dim toward the setting of the sun, will lead me safe to a land of rest by a crown of life have won. See, I have put my faith in thee, dear Lord, that I may reach the golden strand. And there's no other friend on whom I can depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Well, Jesus, hold my hand. I need you every hour, while through this pilgrim land. Protect me by thy saving heart. Oh, hear my feeble plea, dear Lord, look down on me. And when I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. And when I kneel in prayer, oh, I hope to meet you there, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, I praise holding your hand, church. I need him to hold mine. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Let's change the order of our service. I don't want to take up too much time because we got some specials from the Burley Williams Church, and we're just excited to see what they have for us there. So let's change the order of the service, and let's sing some worship songs just before we go to the Lord. Let's sing that song, Open the Eyes of My Heart. Amen. And we'll take these needs to the Lord after we sing this song. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Hey, I want to see you. Oh, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. Oh, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out. Lord, as we see, oh, behold, eyes of my heart, I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want. I want to see you high and lifted up. Oh, shining. Pour out your power as we see. If you'll play that softly as we take our needs to the Lord. I'm going to have Brother Aaron Ngamaza to come up and pray for these special needs. Have a special from Sister Sarah Buchanan. Special request says, please remember my sister who lives in Texas. She was hospitalized overnight due to possible heart problems. Amen. I want to remember that special need in prayer. Also, prayer request from Sister Nadia. It says to please pray for Evelyn and Carol. They're traveling back to New York today. So we're going to remember them in our prayers for traveling mercies. want to remember Sister Sandy Peterson in prayer for certain, and the Hughes family. Praying for Sister Connie recovering from that stroke. And we're going to be praying also for Sister Tina Knobloch. She's been suffering with this ordeal for some time. We want to pray that God grant her relief from that issue. And also the Whitlocks were not able to make it today. And I certainly remember Sister Carrie with her condition in prayer. If you remember the Ivies, they were traveling to Tennessee for the dedication of their grandbaby. Want to remember the Drum family. And I have a prayer request here for Sister Megan Buchanan's father. On April the 30th, he's going for a procedure. I think it's for nephrology. So we're going to remember him in prayer. He's having some kidney issues from the medications that he's on. And I know that's very troubling for him, so let's keep him in our prayers. Amen. If you have unspoken prayer requests, you can make them known at this time. And I'm certain God sees your need. Amen, Brother Aaron.
Let us bow our hearts for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we gather this morning, Lord, as the sheep of your pasture, and we realize that you are the good shepherd. And Father, we are helpless sheep, oh God, and there's nowhere we can go without you. We depend solely upon you, Father, and your provision. And Lord, it's David said that, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall not fear no evil, for thou art with me. Because, Lord, you are my shepherd, and Lord, you are our shepherd. There are many of your sheep this morning. Some are sick, Lord. Some are broken. Some are in hospitals. Some are dealing with cancers. But, Father, we know that you are not unaware of all our troubles. And we call upon you, Father. And Lord Jesus, you said, my sheep hear my voice. But we also know that the shepherd knows the cry of the sheep. And the prophet says the shepherd can distinguish between the cry of a sheep and the cry of a goat. And this morning, Lord, some of your lambs are bleating, oh God, looking for help. Some, Lord Jesus, oh God, pain and sickness. Lord Jesus, you made a way for us that whenever we get sick, whenever we get into a situation, we can call upon you. Father, we raise these requests before your throne this morning that you may intervene on our behalf. Father, we have no other place, we have no way to go but to come to the Lord. For Lord, we know that you are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning and the end, Lord. The start and the end of our problems. All our situations, Lord, we bring upon thee, O God. Help us this morning, Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for many miracles and testimonies that we have heard so far. But Lord, we know that though though the troubles of the righteous may be many, Lord, you are able to deliver out of every one of them all. We thank you this morning for gathering us together, Lord Jesus, like one Greek family. As you said in your word, that it is like the anointing that flowed from the beard of Aaron. Lord, you said you command a blessing. May we receive this blessing this morning as we fellowship with the saints from Greenville. Father, may you just give us that blessing. We thank you for Brother Burley. We thank you for intervening on his behalf. We thank you, Lord, for binding his wounds and healing him, Lord. We pray that you may restore the energy. You may restore the strength. You may restore him completely this morning. We thank you. We love you. We commit this service into your hands. May it not be a ritual, Lord. May it not be just a tradition. May you come in your mighty power and visit us this morning. Lord, we are looking to you, Father, for we worship and we serve a living God. We serve a God that is able to declare himself. Come, Father, and manifest yourself and show yourself before your people this morning. Lord, we are under great expectation. Feed us, O bread of heaven. Give us the springs of the living water that, Lord Jesus, we may never thirst anymore. Help us, oh God, and help Brother Barry this morning as he comes. No doubt he has prepared, but you just take over him, Lord. Father, may he just be a skin that you can use to minister to your people. For Father, we know that in every age you have used men to communicate to your people. Use him this morning. Help us, Father, and forgive us of any sins and trespass that may hinder the moving of your spirit. Grant it this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. You can have your seats. Been standing for a very long time. Again, my apologies for that. But we're going to invite Brother Burley Williams and his team to come up. As we sing this song, My Chains Are Gone, Amazing Grace, if they'd be making ready. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, his mercy rained, unending love, amazing grace. First verse, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Set free, my God, my Savior has ransomed me. Oh, like a flood, his mercy rained, unending love, amazing grace. 'Twas grace that taught
and mercy. Are you happy this morning?
Amen.
Amen. We just come to worship the Lord. I had called Brother Barry, I guess, over a month ago. Told him we'll come up this way. I'm not explaining the whole deal, but we're here by his grace. And it's just good to be here. I just want to thank each and every one of you for your prayers. And we just thank God for what he's doing in our lives. Amen. Amen. And praise the Lord. It's good to have Peniel Tabernacle to come with us. Some of us couldn't make it through sickness and so forth. But those that was able to make it, we just thankful. Praise the Lord. You know, we just going to just sing a few songs. I just told Brother Barry, I told him we'll come up and just worship with you. They ready to go. Amen. What we gonna do is just sing a few songs, but I want to say this. The Bible tells us, you know, there's some have the gifts of wisdom, gifts of prophecy, so forth in Corinthians, and it says by the same Spirit. Amen. Every time it speaks of a gift, it says by the same Spirit. Amen. Can we say amen? Amen. So it make no difference what the difference is. It has to be by the same Spirit. Can we say praise the Lord? Amen. So we, one thing about worship, we worship the same God. And once we get in the spirit of the composer, can we say praise the Lord? It don't make no difference how you clap. Hello? As long as it's in the same Spirit. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, we worship. That's what we want to do is worship. So I hope we don't get too loud. We just let it go. You just got to let it go. Praise the Lord. So we just, you know, we feel God's presence already. We didn't come to take over. We come to enter in. Amen. Praise the Lord, because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. I will say this. The song that they're going to sing, we call this, it's called You Fight On. And I want to just read the scriptures. Is that okay? And I asked them, would they sing this song for me? Let me explain something to you. When you go through something in life, sickness, disappointments, things like that happens, we can find ourselves very easily falling under the spirit of what the situation is, and your faith go low. That's what the devil wants you to do. Is that right? You can hear a lot of things the doctor say. You can hear this say, somebody else say certain things. You listen to it, it can pull your spirit down. Is that right? But there comes a time, you know, something had to rise up in you and knowing who you are. Can we say amen? Because God got a different way he looks at things. We give excuses for things, but God has a way he looks at things. Can we say amen? How many of you ever say, oh, I'm just so tired now? How many of you ever do that? Oh, Lord, I'm just so tired. And would you just take me home, Lord? I'm just tired. We go through those things. But, you know, God look at things totally different. When God has a plan for you in your life, he's going to get it. We can't go until he says it's time to go. I'm saying that from personal experience. I just want to read the scripture. I'm not preaching. But this is Joshua 13. Because I woke up this morning thinking about this. And the time I opened my Bible, it was what I was looking for. And I wanted to show you how God look at things. It says Joshua 13 verse 1. Now Joshua was old, stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, I'm so sorry, you're old. That ain't what that scripture said. The way God going to respond back, so going to be like, whoa. It said Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, thou art old, stricken in years. And there remaineth yet very much land to possess. So God didn't care about his age. God didn't care how old he is, how tired he was. God said, no, there's more land to possess. Can we say praise the Lord? You might say, God, I can't go another day. I'm a little tired. God said, that ain't the way I'm looking at it. There's more land to possess. Can we say praise the Lord? And I thought what was so interesting, that says that in Joshua 13. Then when you jump to Joshua 14, it comes to Caleb. Can we say amen? And we know the story, what Caleb said. Caleb said, he admitted, I'm old. I'm stricken in years. Caleb admitted, I am. He said, but I'm still strong. He said, I might be 85 years old. He said, but I'm still ready for war. Can we say amen? Neither one of them, he didn't use I'm old as an excuse not to battle. Can we say amen? So it makes no difference what we go through. We got to be ready and prepared to fight on. Amen. How many of you have a fight in you? Amen. Sometimes God got to wake that fight up in you. So that's why we want to sing this song, You Fight On. And it says, I got my sword in my hand, which is this. Can we say amen? But I want to put it to you like this. Even though the sword is in your hand, we want to say you got to have the sword in your soul. Can we say amen? Is that all right?
Yes, sir.
Are y'all going to worship with us?
Amen.
We're going to try to get in tune here. Okay, brother. It's all right to clap your hands. right, Brother Barry? Amen. We're going to keep going until I can see Brother Barry. But I know I'm getting somewhere then, but I can see Brother Barry and get the moving. We're getting somewhere. I think your church want to see that, Brother Barry. Praise the Lord. Amen. This the next one we're going to sing. This call everybody clap your hands. Amen. This is the way we praise Him. Clap your hands. These just maybe not, we're definitely not in the songbook. So, but, you know, I thank God for His grace and mercy.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. There's nothing wrong with new songs. Amen. Can we say praise Amen. The Lord? Amen. You know, you got some in the message. Don't think you should sing songs that ain't not for 63. That's incorrect. Can we say amen? Because according to my understanding, Revelation chapter 5, when the book was open, they sung a new song.
Amen.
Songs are being written depending on the age that you're in.
Amen.
Can we say praise the Lord?
Amen.
If you don't want to believe it, go to a Baptist church and sing I Feel the Pool and see what kind of look you'll get. They'll be like, what in the world are you talking about when you feel the pool? That song wasn't written for them, it's for us. Because we know what it is. Can we say amen?
Amen?
So just enter into this song with us. Everybody clap your hands. It means exactly what it says. Everybody clap your hands.
Amen. There's only one excuse you got not to praise him. If you're dead. But the Bible says, let everything. Everything that has breath. Praise the Lord. Can we say amen? Are you alive? Then you gotta praise him. Praise the Lord. Amen. We got one more for you. Amen. Remember, this is worship. Amen. Not entertainment.
Amen.
Worship. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is the last one we were saying. Let the glory of the Lord rise amongst us. Let it rise.
Amen. Let it rise among us. Amen. Let it rise.
Praises to our God. Every word of worship. Oh, every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise. Lord, to our God. Sing hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise. Every word of worship, every praise, every praise, notes to our God, God my Savior, God my Savior, God my healer, oh my deliverer, yes He is, yes He is.
Whispered to Brother Burley as he stepped down there. I said, I just sure hope Paula Fontaine's streaming this morning. Good to have all of you in the house of the Lord today. Great honor. I really hoped and prayed that Brother Burley and his church family would feel at home. I think we got there. I think we got there pretty quickly. And just wanted to welcome all of you today and make you feel welcome among us. And like Burley said, we're all one family. And one body, and we worship the same God. We have in common the fact that we all can hear the voice of God, and that's just a wonderful thing. So we're just honored to have you with us today. I extended an invitation to Brother Burley also that next Sunday for Easter, we're open as well. So we're having a special meeting, and we'd love to have you, and we're going to have a church dinner, and we'd love to have you. So, you know. The thought of extra chicken, I mean, that's a draw. That's a draw. And so you're sure welcome. And today, because we're doing the special meeting next weekend, we weren't able to, you know, provide a lunch there today, but we're going to provide you with a lunch today. Brother Burley's church, we're going to buy you lunch today. And that's our way of just saying we're glad to have you and appreciate you our door is always open. And may God bless you. We know it's a difficult thing to have church in a hotel every Sunday, have to set up and take down. We know that's a little bit tough. So we are just honored to have you with us today and want you to know you're welcome. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to start this morning. I want to just make a couple of real quick announcements, and then we're going to jump right into the word here this morning. First of all, we want to continue to remember Brother Mike Pritchard, and Mike's here with us today. He's feeling good, and we just want to pray that the Lord does a complete work in his body. Amen. And we're not letting go until we get that all Amen. Clear. So we just want to continue to hold him up in prayer, and I know there's some other needs that are unspoken here today, so let's go to him. Heavenly Father, we look to you and trust in you, Lord, because you made certain promises, and you made certain provisions for us, Lord, that nobody else could. And so, in the name of Jesus Christ, we're committing every need, Lord, into your hands, believing that you're a God who cares and you're a God who understands and knows about what we go through. You're able to be touched by the feeling of our infirmity. And then you came right around and made yourself a high priest that can be touched. And so, Lord, we reach out to you today in the name of Jesus Christ and pray that you would bring every sickness under your control and put it under your feet, that we might have the victory and we might have complete healing. We commit our ways and our needs into your hands now and bless this service, we pray. In any way, Lord, if we have grieved you or done something inappropriate through this week, I pray you'd look at us through the blood of Christ today. And Lord, have your way, we ask in Jesus' lovely name. Amen and amen. Take your Bible while you're standing and let's go to Psalm 55. Psalm 55. And we'll read there before you're seated today. Psalm 55. And we're just going to read one verse here. Psalm 55 and verse 22. When you got it, say amen.
Amen.
That's a majority. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved.
Amen.
Let's read it again. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. And he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved.
Amen.
May God add his blessing. You may be seated this morning. Very briefly, March 20th. We didn't get to wish Brother Aaron a happy birthday. He wasn't here when his day came. But Brother Aaron, we appreciate you very much and wish him a happy birthday today on the 20th. Chris Clayville, Wednesday night, right? Forgot to mention that. Brother Chris, we appreciate you and your family, and trust your birthday was blessed. Mike and Angela Pritchard celebrate their anniversary on the 29th. How many years? Where are we? How many years? 46 years. Wow, wonderful. God bless you. We really appreciate the Pritchards. March 31st is Noah Cockman, who's in Indiana's birthday. And how old is Noah going to be? 21? 20-something? 21. Wow. 21. Ted and Suzanne Doucette have an anniversary on April 1st. How many years? 36. We appreciate you both. 37. It's roughly somewhere between 35 and 40. But Ted, that's one thing in our church you don't want to miss, okay? Just letting you know. We are honored to have the Doucettes with us. They fit right in like a glove, and we just want to wish you the very best on your anniversary. And then also Sister Tendai, her birthday also on the 4th. And so may God bless you, Sister Tendai. I know she's here. I saw her earlier. All right, I've got a couple of other announcements to do, but I'm just going to put those to the back here, and I'd just like to jump right in because we want to make the most of our time here this morning, and trust that the Lord will undertake for us here. How many of you are ready for the Word?
Amen.
All right, now this is my fifth sermon in 5 days here, so I just trust I'll have enough voice here to get where I need to go, and. This is a very simple topic, and I won't apologize for the simplicity of it, but this is a very simple statement that we want to talk about today, and that is to be able to live above your cares. And there's not a one of us that don't have our share or more of cares and burdens and different things that we carry today. Every one of us does. And we've been talking about this idea of the Spirit-controlled church and its people. And this is especially where we want to have his hand directly upon us, because we all have to balance the challenges and the worries and the cares and the things that happen to us. Some of them are unexpected. Most of them are not. And we certainly want to be able to balance those in the right way. Now, Brother Branham said... And let's just jump over here if you don't mind. Brother Branham said that we're facing two scriptures. He said we're facing two thoughts, and they're a contrast one to the other. And this is talking about the day that we live in now. And he said it's a contrast one to the other. And the first one is, he said, arise and shine. This is all found in Isaiah 61. He said, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord of God has come upon us. Thy light is here. Thy light is shining. And he said, that's the first thing. But he said the next verse talks about gross darkness is upon the people. So the world is one of the most chaotic times of darkness that's ever stood, and yet it's standing in the most blessed light that it's ever shined. And so this is the paradox. This is the contrast. We have a day that's full of darkness and a world that's full of darkness, and yet we have a great shining light that has been provided for us. Now, obviously, we're either walking in one or the other, right? Obviously, we're guided by one or the other. And that sets up a contrast for us, because you happen to be one that not only are you walking in the light that God's provided, but you also recognize the kind of darkness that the world is walking in. We recognize the kind of darkness. There's a lot of people out there in the world who don't recognize the darkness that they're actually in, right? They think it's a political blip, or they think it's something that, you know, the economy takes a little nosedive for a while, and then we go back. Hey, listen, those are not the problem. Those are the symptoms of a problem. We live in a world that's falling apart, right? And so those are not the problem. And the immorality and the world like Sodom and all of those things, that's not the cause. That's not the cause. That's a result of things that have been prophesied. And we know that the world is, modern events are not made clear by CNN. They're certainly not made clear by the government. They're not made clear by your education. But modern events are made clear by prophecy.
Amen.
And so prophecy helps us see the interpretation of the Word of God. That helps us see the true chaos. The true chaos is just not in the White House. And the true chaos is not just in the Middle East. The true chaos is what Satan creates as a smokescreen to turn things dark in a time of great light. Amen. And Satan knows that there's great light. He knows that there is great understanding that's to be revealed and made known in this last day. He knows that. So he's got to throw everything he can in these times of darkness to blot out that light or distract people from walking in that light. He knows that. And he knows that his time is short. And so therefore, it becomes a greater contrast in our time. Now, Brother Branham, and let me just give you a couple of statements here to kind of get us in the right direction here. Brother Branham tells us here that it wasn't meant for you to have peace here. He said it wasn't meant to. You're not meant to have peace and quiet here. You're not meant to have a real good night's rest where you get up the next day and feel like, yeah, let's do it. We're not meant to have peace here. And if you did, you'd get customized to the world. He said, but God don't want you to be customized to this world. Because he's got another place for us to go. He's got another place for us to be. And he wants you to rest in him. And so by allowing these things to happen in the world around us, it makes you call for something that you haven't even seen yet, but you know is there. We haven't even seen it, but we know it exists. And so he wants you to rest in him. He wants you to put your trust in him. He said, then and only then do you have peace. I was talking to a young man this week, and I know him very well, and I kind of stay in touch with him, and bumped into him down at Brother Jason's church, and got to talking with him, and he was talking about his. I asked him how his job was going and how things are, and he's married, he's got kids, and he was in a certain role, and now he's been given this whole facility. It's like a not a sports facility, but a resort type area. And he's been given the management over all of that stuff that goes on in that resort complex. And he said, it's just relentless. He said, I'm standing here with my phone talking to you. He said, I'm standing here feeling my phone going off on my leg. He said, it's just one after the other, after the other, after the other. And it was 9 o'clock at night. And he said, it's just going off. And he said, 7 days a week, my phone reacts like that. And he said, when I get home, he said, I'm usually so tired. He said, I'm numb. And he said, I can hardly taste my food. And he said, when I get to bed, he said, maybe I'll lay on the bed. And he said, I just go completely out for 2 or 3 hours. And then I wake up. And he said, I see that list of messages that's on my phone. And he said, just one after the other, just lit up there. And he said, that is relentless. He said, it's 7 days a week, 7 days a week, 7 days a week. And I said, you know, as bad as that sounds, and I said, I feel for you because I know that's tough, when you're in a position of pressure like that. But really, you're talking like every man. Most of us feel, we might not have relentless calls like that, or, our position and our responsibilities might be described a little bit differently, but every one of us are feeling a lack of peace and lack of rest in this world. How many can say amen? And I told him, I assured him, I said, this is not you. It's not that you're doing something wrong or not that you've made a mistake somehow. I said, that's a time that we've moved into. It's a season that we've come to where pressure is increased and the pressure on working men, and the pressure on families today, and the pressure on your finances, right? Hey, we don't need to take a whole lot of time to talk about pressure on finances, right? You folks that drove here and filled your tank up with gas, my goodness. And it ain't going to go away, right? A lot of times when those things rise up, they don't go away very quickly. And, if you got your retirement saved up and, you're looking at that and you're kind of doesn't take as long to calculate this week after last week. And, it's a place where Jesus assures us, and Brother Branham backs it up. He said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. I've got a place where you're going to go. And he said, if it wasn't so, I would not have told you so. But I'm going to come back and I'm going to take you from this place to this place. And that's our expectation. That's our hope, isn't it? And he wants you to rest in him. He wants you to rest in that promise. And he says, so come to him. He said, then you will have peace. Daniel 7 describes this last day as well. And he talks about the fourth beast that would come, shall be the fourth beast of the fourth kingdom of the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth. And then this is end time prophecy that he's giving here. And in verse 25, it says that this great force, this great power that will wind up in this great conflict at the very end, he shall speak great words against the Most High, and he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Guess who that is? Guess who he's speaking about? He's speaking about believers, right? He's speaking about people like us. And his job, his words, his efforts are put into wearing out. And that literally means in the Hebrew, it means to exhaust or harass constantly the saints of the Most High. And think to change times and laws, and it shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. And so Satan's got, he's got a liberty, he's got a rule, he's got an authority, he's got an influence in this last day. And there's not a thing in the world that you're going to do that prayed out of the way. You got to learn to live above the cares of this life. And I find in many examples, in many cases here, when we look at this and the examples that I'm going to share with you, there's not a lot of places where God steps in and just takes away the problem and takes away the anxiety. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he pulls off an instantaneous healing, or sometimes he pulls off an instantaneous deliverance, and God is able to do that. But most times, rather than taking it away, God gives you strength and puts you in a position to ask for strength to rise above the anxiety, and it's still there. The problem still might be there. The issue might still be there, but God has given you what you need to rise above it and say, by God's grace, I'm not under that anymore. I'm an overcomer of that thing. Amen. And that's exactly what your testimony, that's the testimony that God wants to hear from all of us. Amen. Brother Branham said there's none of us that are immune from troubles. There is none of us. Say, none of us. That means all the way from the pastor, all the way to the youngest one here, none of us are immune from troubles. And God has not promised to excuse us from all sickness, but it is written that his strength is sufficient. Amen. You know, it's always a pressure if you're a pastor. It's always a pressure when people come to you and they say, hey, you know, this is what my boss said, and there's no appeal. And this is what the court decided, and there's no appeal. And this is what the doctor told me, and he said, there's nothing we can do. And people will come and they'll say, pastor, this is the way it is. And you know, in a sense, that creates a pressure because you feel like, all right, I got to come up with something that nobody else on earth can come up with. But yet I know, I've been around enough to know that I do not have that power within myself to be able to lift or take away a sickness or, a job situation. I can't just speak something out of thin air. But I do know that there is a strength sufficient that is above me that I can be a conduit to. Do you understand what I just said? That I might serve, if nothing else, I might serve as a connection between you and the problem and the anxiety that you experience and a God who has all strength for you to either be totally delivered from it or to give you the strength and power to rise above it. One or the other, I serve as a conduit to that God. And he will never put so much upon us but what he will give us grace to bear so that we have that consolation of knowing. We have that consolation of knowing. I was doing a little research, and I was doing a little research for a couple of different reasons about, you know, this subject of anxiety. I'm actually reading a book about it now because I want to be able to help, and I want to be able to kind of sound sensible when somebody asks me a question, because this is a huge problem. This problem of anxiety, it's really a huge problem in our society. But here's the sad thing, is that the majority of people in our world today who suffer from anxiety and nervous are between 10 and 24 years old. And that's the sad part. That's the problem. So the scale of the problem is rather large. Let me give you a summary here. And I'm not going to dwell too long on this, but can I have a few minutes on this? That'd be all right? Don't get worried. This is a real measurable multi-generational shift. All of a sudden they're finding a shift. And they've been looking at the data. They've been looking at the statistics here. And they're saying this is not just a phase where kids are just complaining. You know, these kids are whining and complaining. They realize that's not what this is. But there are real, technical, true causes for the problems of anxiety that people face. And number one, this is the list that they made now, all right? Number one is the technology that was designed to capture attention. That was listed as number one. Now, let me just, if you don't mind, let me just go down that tributary just for a moment and say that on March 25th, this last week here, there was a landmark decision by a jury in California that made a decision, and they also made a financial penalty against Meta, which is Facebook, and also YouTube for the culpability that they had been involved in creating their platforms and creating their apps. Now, let me read this to you, all right? This is not on the board here, but let me read this. A California jury found Meta and YouTube liable on all counts in a landmark case accusing the tech giants of intentionally, you got to listen to this, of intentionally addicting a young woman and injuring her mental health. They found the companies guilty of that. And the jury found that Meta and YouTube were negligent in the design of their platforms and knew that their design was dangerous and failed to warn of these risks. And they caused substantial harm to the plaintiff, which was a girl who's now 30 years old. And she claimed that she had been injured by these apps. And the jury determined, after listening to all the evidence, that Meta and Google acted with malice, oppression, and fraud in the way that the companies operated their platforms. Now, let me just show you here. One document stated that if we want to win big with teens, we got to bring them in as tweens. If we want to capture teenagers and have them addicted to our systems and our apps, we have to start earlier. We have to come at the tweens. How many tweens do we have here? You don't even know. Another internal memo. So you're not a teenager yet, but let's say you're older than 8. Everybody between the ages of 8 and 13, stick your hand up. Let's do one more. Stand up, if you will. Stand up. If you're a tween, between 8 and 13. 8 and 13. Everybody. Everybody. Don't be shy. Everybody. Look at that. All right. You can have your seats. Another internal memo showed that 11-year-olds were 4 times as likely to keep coming back to Instagram compared with competing apps, despite the platform requiring users to be 13 years old. You know what those requirements actually mean? Nothing. Right? The addictive features at issue is that this woman's case argued that Meta and YouTube made deliberate design choices For example, infinite scrolling. They know how to get somebody to do that. Lucas has been warning us about that for a while. To make their platforms more addictive to children in order to boost their profits. Now look, if you don't mind for a minute, let me just say this. If we had, God forbid, but if we had somebody break in here with a machine gun and, did some terrible damage in here, God forbid. But let me just, as an example here, if somebody broke in and did that, or somebody came through the parking lot and, blew up a car or something like that or whatever else, and, when all the dust settled and everything else, and we had nothing in place, we had no emergency contingency, we had no provisions made for that, eventually you'd wind up coming to me and say, Brother Barry, why didn't you do something? Right. Here we are all sitting ducks in the church and somebody got in there and, maybe we didn't have deacons and maybe we didn't have any cameras and maybe we didn't lock all the doors and everything else. You'd be coming to me saying, hey, why didn't you protect us? My family's in here. Why didn't you do something? Why didn't you at least do something to protect us? Isn't that true? Isn't that true? When we go through the airport and they're mopping the floor and you don't know that it's there, and if you fall, it's a terrible thing. And so they put up all these signs and they put up protective barriers there so somebody doesn't get hurt, because that's a reasonable thing. Isn't that right? That's a reasonable thing. And let me tell you something. Based on what I'm telling you here and what a jury decided this week, you parents ought to be meeting me at the church door, at my office door at the end of service, and saying, thank you, Brother Barry, for attempting to protect my children. Thank you for sounding the alarm. Thank you for doing something here, because even though I might harp on this a little bit, and be kind of repetitive, and you might think I'm an old fogey or old fashioned or something else, let me tell you, it's proven not by the media, it's proven not by the government, but it's proven by people like you, a jury of their peers, that looked at that and said, that was malicious and intentional, and they are in the business to mess up the minds of your children, and parents ought to be the ones that are standing up and saying, hallelujah, finally somebody said something. And you ought to be promoting somebody that preaches against the real dangers of this stuff, because the dangers of this stuff are really dangers. Social media, this is probably the most discussed factor, and I'm still on this topic here. Number one, studies show a correlation between heavy social media use and depression and anxiety and loneliness and suicidal thoughts. Just that sentence enough ought to wake people up and say, maybe it's not a good idea for me to give my 10-year-old a phone that's connected to the internet. And they can be up all night underneath the sheets, looking at something all night. Maybe that's not quite a good idea. And I would say, yeah. The platforms are designed to be addictive. The platforms are designed to be addictive. The platforms are designed to be addictive. Why don't you give your kids other addictive substances? Why don't you give them cigarettes? Why don't you give your kids cigarettes? They're addictive.
Come on, try.
I'm just asking the question. The platforms are designed to be addictive, and they're using algorithms that feed users content based on their preferences and interactions, keeping them engaged for a longer period of time. Now, looking through the lens of Psalm 55:22, which we have read right here, it is worth noting that what the data describes is a generation carrying enormous burdens. It's a generation carrying an enormous burden. That's the Hebrew word there. And they are assigned burdens. And with fewer and fewer people around them to share the weight with tools that promise relief but often deepen the isolation. Can I go just a little further here? I'm just throwing this out here for you because I think it's worth talking about. And I want to go back to this screen right here for a moment. That was only number one. Number two, the erosion of deep community face-to-face relationships. The erosion of deep community face-to-face relationships. Because now people are quite content if they have 1,000 friends on their social media. That's my community. That's my people. They're my friends. But yet nobody will come along and bring you a bowl of chicken soup when you get sick. And nobody will come along and sing happy birthday to you when it's your birthday. You might get 100 memes, but nobody will come along and look after your cat when you're away on a trip, right? And nobody will be there when you're down in the valley and you need a helping hand and you need somebody to just kind of put their arms around you and say, hey, buddy, I'm praying for you. That's not a tick on a computer. That's a real person. And I believe that's the way God intended for you to define what a friend is. I'm sorry. I might be old-fashioned, but We also know they listed there that the COVID years put everybody into isolation, and all the teens who had phones and laptops and tablets, they were able to be isolated with their computers to do school, and it set something in motion. I will tell you that COVID changed a lot of things, and that's one of the things that changed. And we live also in a time of economic uncertainty. So now when young people come out of college or they come out from school and they want to work and they want to think about buying a house and they want to, maybe balance the pressures of raising kids and having a car and a car that works and having, money to eat out every now and then, be able to afford a house, be able to afford the emergencies that happen in a house and all the other, it becomes quite a burden. And a lot of kids, as a result of that, they're shying away from marriage because they don't want to have to face that. And number five, the collapse of extended family structures that once absorbed stress across the generations. That's called apoparenting, meaning that in old days, you had a community around you that were not necessarily your mom and dad, but they were brothers, sisters, cousins, uncles, aunts, grandparents. And they were around you enough that, you know what, when tragedy struck, they were there. They were bringing over a pot of stew, and they were bringing over a plate of cookies, and they were bringing over a little bit of help and support. And you had people around you that help absorb the shock of what it is that life threw at you, the anxieties and the problems that life threw at you. And they find now, in the society, they found that there's a collapse in that family structure so that, people are spread out all over the place here. And we don't have mom and dad. We don't have an uncle. We don't have somebody to step in and help. We don't have somebody to come over and knock on your door and not say a word, but just hold their arms open and give you a hug. We live in a society where people are disconnected and they're disinterested because they're disconnected. Because it's one thing to read it in a text and it's one thing to read it on a headline, but it's a different thing when somebody stands in front of you and they got tears rolling down their cheeks. I might be old-fashioned, but I'm just throwing this in here because, this is an issue that we face, and it's a cause for anxiety for a lot of young people that live in our world. And so therefore, the physical attacks, the kinds of attacks that our enemy will throw at us really are physical type diseases and mental diseases and spiritual warfare. And our enemy will try to do that very much so in whatever way that he possibly can. But when we're talking about 10 to 24-year-olds who are suffering from this whole issue and nobody's doing anything about it, I think that's a travesty. I think it's a terrible thing. And right after that verdict that happened in California, there was a second verdict that came down where Facebook was ordered to pay $375 million in damages. I didn't put it on the board here, but listen to what it says. I'm reading right off the headline. They ordered Meta to pay $375 million in damages for failing to protect young users from child predators on Instagram and Facebook. And they're finding those companies guilty. They are adjudicating these companies are guilty. They're not, it's not just bad press. It's not just a news leak here. They're actually finding them guilty, and they have evidence to prove that what they were doing was maliciously intended to harm young people. And now they say it's opened up a floodgate of lawsuits and all the young people that have committed suicide and all those families coming together to deal with those things here. Let me tell you, those are not easy to bear. Those are not easy realities that we face in our community here. But I want to introduce you to this verse here in Psalm 55, verse 22. Is this all right? Are we okay? And here's David using this word, and it's the only place in the Bible you'll find this word. I always find that interesting when there's only one instance of this word. There are similar uses of this word. But when David says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, that word cast is a very powerful word. And it means that when you have a burden, you have to understand that if you're a Christian, how many of you believe that God has control of your life?
Amen.
And he ordains things that happens to you, right? He ordains things. He orders our steps, and he chose the age. He chose the family. He chose your color. He chose your stature in life. He chose your gender. God chose all of that, and he puts us in a place where nothing happens by chance to us. Nothing happens by chance. And if that's the case, if nothing happens by chance, this word here, this little phrase, cast thy burden upon the Lord, it means that every trial that comes your way came through the hand of the Almighty. Every trial that came your way, it might not have been God, you know, I mean, Satan has the creative, or not the creative, but he has, you know, the authority to be able to manipulate circumstances against us here. And, you know, you heard the expression, when it rains, it pours, right? And Satan's good at, you know, when something goes wrong, something else will go wrong, something else will go wrong, and something else on top of that. And Satan's a master at that kind of thing. But there's no trial, there's no problem that comes your way that has not passed through the hand of the Almighty. And God would never allow anything to happen to you or come your way without he sees it first. And so David says in this psalm here, he says, the thing for you to do is to cast your burden upon the Lord. And the word Lord there is Yahweh. And Yahweh is literally, in the Hebrew, a burden bearer. It's like a bearing wall in the house. When you got a bearing wall in the house, you can knock out every other wall and it ain't going to matter. But the bearing wall is the one that takes the weight. And Yahweh is the burden bearer. He's the center wall. He's the one that's got all the weight on him. And you know what? That wall is made to be able to bear the weight. It's made to be able to hold that up. It's made to be able to hold. When everything else falls away and everything else collapses, that wall is going to hold, and the whole structure of the house is dependent on it. And that is exactly what David is using. It's the only place where David says this. But he says, to cast your burden. Now, this is not, let me tell you what it's not. It's not this. Now, there's not a thing in the world wrong with you taking a prayer request and writing it down and putting it on the platform and hoping that the song leader remembers. Because you want to see how many papers I got up here? I got dozens of papers up here. I'm telling you this, that word cast means, in the same way that Joseph's brothers took Joseph and they cast him into the pit.
Yes, sir.
That's the same word. That's the same idea that they took Joseph, and they were not half-hearted about that. They were not, sort of doing it. They purposely put Joseph in the pit, and then they sold him to those slave traders that were there. They ripped his coat off of him to give to their father, and they said, we're going to cast you into the pit, and he could not get out. And it was intentional, and it was strong, and it was the kind of a thing that Joseph could not do anything about. And that is the word that is used right there. It's also the same word that we find where God said, I'm going to remove your sins as far as the east is from the west, and I'm going to cast them into the sea of my forgetfulness. And God did not just take your sins and do this.
Come on, brother.
He just didn't dip him in there. He took him and he threw those sins in there. And they're gone. They're absolutely gone. That's exactly what he did. He threw him with intention. He threw him with vigor. He threw him with strength. That's what he did. And he threw our sins away. And this is exactly what David is saying right here, that when you have something that comes your way, and in the language of the Bible here, it means that you have something all of a sudden that you've been assigned to. One of the very best examples of this principle is when Corrie ten Boom and her family were sentenced to the concentration camp in Germany. And you remember that. And they were found out because they had housed Jews in their house and they were protecting them. And so the German government found out about it and they brought him to the camp and they threw him in here. Her father died. Her sister Betsy died. And it was a tremendous trauma for Corrie ten Boom. And then eventually she was let out. She came out and she lived until she was 80-something years old, I think. I don't know all the details. But the idea, the concept here is that she did not sign up for the Holocaust, but it came her way. She did not ask to be put in that camp, but it came her way. In other words, when she pulled the card out of the file, that's what it said. And God, who ordains everything, knew that she was going to go through this.
and doesn't take it away, but gives her the strength to go through it. And then at the end of it, she goes around the world for the rest of her life proclaiming this one sentence, that there is no hole so deep that the love of God is not even deeper than that hole. And she comes out of it with a greater character. She comes out of it with a greater strength. And let me tell you, that's not what we do. We don't ask God to give us strength by trial. We don't ask God to give us hard times so that we'll grow stronger or develop our character. We generally don't do that. But God knows that we need it, and He'll put us through things. The trial has to pass through His hand. And when we're assigned that particular trial, and it might be a disease, it might be a job situation. It might be a family situation. You might feel you've been single too long. You might feel like you don't have enough money. You might feel like, oh, if I had only worked harder at my marriage. Or whatever the situation is, there are certain things that come along in life's journey that all of a sudden you realize they're there. And you know what? I can't do anything in my power to change that. It's there. Brother Branham describes it this way. He said there are times and things that happen that change the whole course of life. And we know we're all aware. Brother Branham looked at his card one day and he saw my wife and my daughter Sharon Rose. Both of them are going under. And Brother Branham could not do a thing about that scenario. That's why he's saying we're all aware. We know what this feels like. We know what it feels like when you go through this kind of a situation. And he says certain things take place along life's journey that change the whole course of life for us. Does that mean that God has forsaken us? No. Does that mean that God is punishing us? No. Not at all. But I will tell you this, that even in Brother Branham's own experience, it created a dependency and awareness that, you know, I need God more than ever before because there's nothing I can do about this. That's the card I drew, and that's been assigned to me. Now, Lord, what you're telling me is I'm going to take that and I'm going to cast it back on you. And that's exactly what he's telling you to do. That's the remedy. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. God assigned something to you. In other words, it's there in your file now. He's saying, take it. Don't accept it. Don't roll over with it. But take it now. And in faith, take it and cast it before God. And that's why I say it's more powerful than just writing it on here, hoping that the song leader remembers. And you just don't want to say, yeah, I got a request, you know, remember me for going through this. I'm talking about there are times when serious things happen to you or situations you can't shake, problems you don't have an answer for and you don't even know where to start. And what David is telling us is the only place where it's described like this in the Bible. You want to take it and you want to slam it on the ground. Not in a disrespectful way, but you want to put it down. And you want to let the whole world know, I have laid this burden at the feet of Jesus. You don't need to be in a church service to do that. You don't need to be in a prayer line to do it. You can. You can be in your house. You can be in your prayer closet. You can be wherever you need to be. But there comes a time when you realize, that's what I'm going through. That's, Brother Barry, that's what I'm going through. And you have a determination in your heart. I'm going to give that to God. But I'm going to give it to Him in a way that I am determined that this is not my problem. This is something I've been assigned. And I'm going to give it to Him in faith, believing He's going to deal with this. And when He deals with this, I am going to give Him all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. It is the same kind of situation that Hannah found herself in when she never had a child. You remember that? And she was in the temple crying out to God. And her sister-in-law had children and kept goading her and ridiculing her. And back then, the worth of a woman was based on the fact that she could provide children. And Hannah had no children at all. And so finally she comes to the church and she stands there in the church to the point where crying and praying, to the point where that the high priest thought that she was drunk. And looks at her and looks at the strange behavior. And all she's doing, she's taking Psalm 55:22 and slamming that request at the foot of the altar and saying, Lord, I am a woman here and I know there's something holding this up. I'm giving this to you. 9 months later, she's pregnant. And then we have Samuel. God does not take away the problem, saints of God. He gives us what we need to go through it. But He wants you, there are times in life when God wants you to come and take that problem and in faith give it to God when there's nothing else seemingly will work. Watch Brother Branham here. He's in the message, persevering. He says, now, you look in this way as we talk. Do you believe what the Bible says is true? You believe that this is the hour that Jesus is to come, that the church has come from justification, sanctification, and so forth. Now, he said, but your trouble, you had an accident. And in that accident, you were gassed with carbon monoxide gas. And it poisoned your liver. And you had trouble with that. And you had trouble with your stomach. And you had trouble with your heart. Right, he says. And it's made you so nervous until you built yourself up a complex. And you're poor and you've got to go back to work. So here's a man now. Something's happened he never signed up for. Something happened in the plant that was the fault of the controls and the manufacturing process. And now he's affected in his body inside, but he's also affected mentally because he's afraid and nervous to go back in the same building where he got sick. And so he's now running out of money. He's like a TSA worker. He's got no money. So his family is, you know, pressuring him on one side and he's got the fear on the other side. Come on. Can anybody relate to a guy like this? He never saw, it's not because he's a sinner, not because he's an unbeliever. I mean, he's in the prayer line, right? He's in the prayer line. He's coming to God. But he said, you're afraid to go to work and you're afraid of that carbon monoxide gas. But he said, it's going to be all right. Now remember, if he'll tell me who you are and will you accept it, he said, go on back and be of good, will you go on back and be of good cheer? He said, your name is Mr. Wagner. Go on your road. You know what? Because when you get serious with it and you give it to God, God's got an answer. God's got an answer of peace. How many believe that? Brother Bram said, Meadie and I were riding around. He said, going around the roads and thinking, oh God, something must be done. I just got to get a hold of you somewhere. You ever feel like that? You don't need to answer me because we all do. You feel like that. You feel like Elijah under the juniper tree, right? He's got one of his greatest victories, the fire that came down on Mount Carmel. And he runs down the bottom of the hill. He's under this tree. And I mean, he's so worried and anxious and full of anxiety. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't go out and preach. He doesn't go anywhere. He's just underneath there. He's not even calling out to God. He's just underneath the tree. And there he is. And he's, you know, he says, would to God I died right here. And there are times when we feel like that, right? Anybody hear me this morning? Can I get a witness? Anybody feel like you come close to that sometimes? Hey, don't worry. It only means you're human. And here he is underneath that tree and he's just sitting there by himself. And God, who watches over us even when we sleep, he's watching over Elijah and he says, hey, boys, look. See my prophet down there? See my prophet down there? And he does not go down and say, hey, you're Elijah. You're supposed to be the leader of the hour. Stand on your feet and be a man here. And let's go get this done. Go back to Jezebel and tell her she can't live that way. He does not do that at all. As a matter of fact, he does the opposite. He says, all right, let's get all the angels in a row right here and hold your hands out like that. He goes by and he feels every hand and he picks the angel that's got the softest hands. And he said, you go down and take a bunch of our supernatural hot cross buns that are made up here in the Cracker Barrel kitchen in heaven. Because that's the bride's food. I said, that's the bride's food. Take those down there and give them a batch and lay them right by the side because the smell will wake any... Hey, the smell of Cracker Barrel will wake any believer up, right? Give them some of that cornbread. Some of them rolls. Some of you are looking at me saying, oh, how long, Brother Barry? How long? Give me some of them rolls. And he wakes up and he eats a couple of them. Brother Branham said, I'd sure like to know what was in those. Because they never had Cracker Barrel in Brother Branham's day. He said, I'd sure like to know what was in them. And he said, Elijah took a couple and he's under the tree there. And the angel says, eat because the journey is too great for thee. He says, eat because the journey is too great for thee. And God sustained the body first and then comforted him in his soul there. But let me tell you. God was nourishing Elijah for what was coming next. But God knew how to do it based on what Elijah was going through. Hey, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he deals with us in exactly the same way. He deals with us. And Brother Branham says here, I'm driving through town with my wife, and I'm thinking, oh, man, I got to find God somewhere. Hey, this is not some backslider. This is not some local pastor. This is a prophet who's saying, I got to get a hold of God. Because events and circumstances and trials and all the other things that happen to us in life will make us feel like God's a million miles away. He ain't. And you're not. But sometimes you feel that way. And you feel like nothing's happening. I don't know anything. Nothing's working right. And Brother Bram said, the hour is pressing. I know we're living in the end time. I know I'm the man of the hour. I know I've got a commission to do this and go into all the world and pray for people. And cancer won't even be. I know all that. Brother Bram knew all that. He didn't need to be told all that. But sometimes he just didn't feel like that.
That's right.
And he said, see, he said, the presence of the enemy and the shaking and the nervous condition and the tension of their world. He said, let's mount up with wings as eagles now and fly into the arms of him. That's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so in other words, whatever David said in Psalm 55, that still applies to us because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And David says, and he will never suffer the righteous to be moved. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. And that word move there, it means that, you can have a shaking in your life. It means that you can be shaken because David knew what it was like to be shaken. Amen. And actually, he wrote this little psalm in the time of Absalom. And Absalom was, Absalom had done a really terrible thing because he had undermined his father's influence in his own country on his own throne.
That's right.
And proclaimed himself king. And now here's Israel with two kings, and they're both in the same family here. And they're wondering about this, and David is trying to figure out how do I deal with this? Do I lift my sword against my own son? And do I punish him? Do I go after him? What do I tell the people in the nation? What do I tell my ministers who are standing here and saying, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do about Absalom? And they're wondering, well, where there's smoke, there's fire. Is Absalom the next man? Is Absalom like you were waiting for Saul to pass away? Is Absalom somehow the anointed and we don't know? And you imagine the questions that David must have had running through his mind and people asking him here. And here he is standing there in that place and he says, the thing that I should do, and this Psalm 55 is written right at that time when Absalom was at the peak of his rebellion right here. And he says, I'm going to cast my burden upon the Lord. In other words, I know you made me king. And I'm going to take that reality and I'm going to put it right on your throne.
Yes,
I'm going to give it that back to you. Either I'm the king or I'm not.
Amen.
And either, Lord, you're going to have to help me or I'm sunk. And if I'm sunk, the whole nation's going to go under with this. It's going to mess everybody up. And he says, he shall sustain thee. That was David's knowledge. He shall sustain thee and he will never suffer the righteous to be moved. And David knew what it was like to be shaken but not toppled. He knew what it was like to be shaken and afraid, but not to quit.
Amen.
David knew what it was like to be in real peril, but never to take his eyes off God. He knew somehow that if God had put him in this place, and if that trial had passed through the hand of God, then somehow or another, God was going to save him from being moved. It means in the same way that you would sustain an army, you would feed and supply an army. It means that you're going to give this supply, this consolation, this security to an army. When you have an invading army, there has to be an infrastructure that goes behind that army to make sure they got bullets and dry boots and food and tents and blankets and everything else. Otherwise, they're going to perish after a week, right? You're not going to be able to hold up. And so this is what that verse means, that when he says they shall not be moved, it means that you're on the front line, but God is right behind you with everything you have need. God is right behind you with everything that you're going to need to have in the act of battle, in the act of the fight. God's got everything behind you that you need. And you know what you need to do? You need to reach out to him. To say, Lord, you put me here on the front line. You put me into this struggle here. And I'm just going to trust that you're going to supply those things that I have need of. Are we okay? I mean, you know, it can take the form of a lot of things. It can take, like Hannah, her answer is a physical child. With Elijah under the juniper tree, it's a batch of Cracker Barrel biscuits. Paul and Silas are in the prison. And they have, Paul looks at his card. He got a pretty busy card. right? Because he's got all these things, you know, day and the night in the deep, and, you know, barbarians after me and so on. I was beat up, lowered down the basket by the wall. His card's pretty full. And so he looks at this here and he says, oh, wow, me and Silas are in prison. And we're cuffed and chained in the prison. And that's the hand that God's dealt to me here. And so he's in the prison here, him and Silas, and they're bound by the fetters in the prison there. And God looks at that, and Paul giving that to God, he doesn't despair. He doesn't. As a matter of fact, their response to the whole trial is to sing. And they start singing. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can sing. And they sing it like you mean it to Barnabas. I'm one of them. And here they are worshiping God, and God is drawn into that situation. And his remedy for that situation is not Cracker Barrel biscuits. His remedy for that situation is an earthquake. And he just cracks the place apart. I mean, he just brings it all down. It comes crashing down. And here's Paul in the prison there. But what's miraculous is what doesn't happen. What's miraculous is that nobody dies, nobody's injured, and nobody escapes.
That's right.
Right? I mean, only God can orchestrate it that way, right? So they're out of their bonds, and the guardsman goes in, and we know what the guardman did. And he comes into the prison, and they're all still there, and they're still singing and rejoicing. And here's Paul and Silas there in the prison. And the jailer says, what kind of a God am I up against here? Now look, I mean, yeah, it sounds good. But I need you to understand he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Brother Branham said, my brother, knowing that life is very short for you unless something can happen, you have cancer. He said, blackness is gathering all over you. But the devil knows that if you could just use a little faith, he's whipped. Amen. If you can just exercise a little faith. Somebody say, little faith. Because there are times when your faith is pounded into something real small. There are sometimes when your you know, the great muscles of faith, they kind of wear away and they atrophy, and they, you know, you think, wow, I can't do that and I can't do this. And we can work ourselves into a lazy place where we just, you know, we feel like we got nothing left. But just like the little boy that showed up at one of Jesus' church services, and he said, feeding them all. And they said, how are we going to do it? We don't have anything. But there's a boy over here, and he's got a couple of fish and a couple of Cracker Barrel biscuits. And Jesus said, hey, now you're talking my language. Give him, bring those up here, let me take them. And when they passed into his hand, they became enough to feed the multitude. And you know what it is? You know what it is? It proves to us, when you have a little of something, give it to God and watch what he can turn it into. I'm sorry for being so basic and so elementary here, but I'm just telling you what the tapes say here. That, listen, buddy, you got cancer, and this is something that's gonna darken your life and shorten your days here. But the devil don't like it when you take that little bit of faith out of your pocket here and you give it to God and you slam it to God and say, I'm going to cast my burden upon him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. For Sam, that's all right. And God will take that little bit that you give him and watch what he does. I'll never see the righteous. I'll never see the righteous be moved. I'll never see the righteous thrown over. Brother Branham said it again. He said, faith without works is dead. He said, you say, I wish I could just take that faith that's in my heart and spread it out. Now, Brother Branham, I don't know whether I can move my hand or not. I'm so sick, I don't know whether I can move my hand. You'll never move it as long as you think that. And believe that he's done it, and go and say he's done it, and act like he's done it, move an inch, and if he can't move it, move a little bit farther. He said, next day a little further, and Satan will say, that's as far as you can go. And you can say, oh no, I'm keep going on. Yeah. Keep on, stay with it. Yeah. Great faith will bring you right now. A little faith will bring you on anyhow, if you'll stay with it.
Hallelujah.
Great faith will see it done right now. Great faith will overthrow that problem right now. But a little faith will bring you just a little bit. And then a little bit. And then a little bit more, and a little bit more, and then a little bit more. And he said, if you just stay with it, don't give up on it, but believe the promise and believe that God's going to take you all the way with it.
Yes.
That little faith is just as good as the big faith.
Amen.
That little faith is just as powerful in the hands of God as the big faith that big men of God ever had. That little faith will work because it's still faith in the
Amen.
Living God.
Amen.
It's still faith in cast thy burden before Yahweh.
He's the burden bearer. He's the center of this whole thing. And he'll see us through.
Amen.
Let me tell you, you don't need to hold back at all, because he was wounded for our transgressions. And he was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace, he says, is upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. And you know what? If that's true, you can take your sickness and you can take your burden. You can take your anxiety. You can take your work schedule, and you can take it all before him. You say, listen, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for the job, but I've never meant to die here. I never got that in my job description. So I'm going to give this job with all my responsibilities. I'm just going to lay it at the foot of the cross.
Amen.
I got the doctor's report. Hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to lay this at the foot of the cross here. And I'm not going to do it in a passive way. I'm going to do it in a way that I really know. I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to leave it there. And I'm going to trust him for the outcome. I'm going to trust him for what's next.
Amen.
That's what I'm going to do.
Yes, sir.
That's exactly and right. Even if you can't mouth the words like Elijah couldn't. Elijah never said a thing under the juniper tree to God. He never got down on his knees and prayed to God. But believe this, that if God watches you even when you sleep, God sees you underneath that juniper tree. And he knows exactly what you have need of.
That's right.
And the very best thing you can do is take your burden and cast it at his feet.
Yes.
Let's stand to our feet. Let's have our musicians come. It would be all right if you worshiped a little bit this morning.
Amen.
You know, we could have a prayer line, and I'd be glad to pray for anybody here today. I sure would. I feel like that'd certainly be fine. That'd be okay for us to do that because we're believers. Isn't that right?
Amen.
But I'll tell you this. If nothing else, I've stoked that little faith in your heart just a little bit. So that, you know, when you get trampled and beat on and all the other things that happen to us, I'll tell you what, it's just good for you to take that little faith and say, I'm going to go home and water that. I'm going to go home and fertilize that. I'm going to take out my Bible and I'm going to go to Psalm 55. Everybody say Psalm 55.
Verse 22.
That's the only verse you'll find like that in all the Bible. And just take it out and just go.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Cast thy burden upon the Lord.
Yes, sir.
And he shall sustain thee.
Amen.
And he shall never, say never.
Never.
He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved.
Amen.
Start there. Start there. Read the next verse. Start there and then go back another verse. And then, you know, who knows? You might have enough in your gizzard to be able to go back to the beginning of the chapter and read the whole chapter. And you know what you're doing? You're just feeding that little faith. Little faith's not a bad thing as long as you give it to God, as long as you put it in these hands. As long as you fertilize it and you give it a little moisture and you work on it a little bit, it'll turn into something great. And Brother Bram said, you stay with it. You stay with it. Because, you know, you wake up tomorrow and the problem's still there doesn't mean that God has failed. Not at all. Not at all. And you wake up the next day and the problem's still there doesn't mean that God hates you and he's punishing you. Doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean that at all. There are some times when God says, my strength, my grace is sufficient for thee. We don't always understand that. We don't always understand why, you know, people have to go through the things that they go through. But I'll tell you what. I'm not responsible for trying to figure all of that out, but I am responsible for telling you this is what David did, and this is what he's telling us to do.
Amen.
All my life you have been faithful.
All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath I am able, I will see the goodness of God.
I love you, Lord.
Though, for your mercy never fails me, all my days I've been held in your hand. Moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will see of the goodness of God.
All my life,
yeah. And all my life you have been haven't led me through the fire. In darkest night, you were close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. Oh, yeah. And all my life you have. Running after me. My life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Oh, your goodness is running after, running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. All my
He's still good. But he wants to bless us even more than we want to be blessed. Our God is good. And he cares for us. And oh, I'll tell you what, I'm just glad I serve him. I look at the headlines every day. You wake up in the morning and you wonder, my goodness, what's next? And you know what? A big part of me just says, I don't care. I really don't care. Because if it gets worse, I'm closer to home. And if it ain't worse, we'll just live this day for the glory of God and the kingdom, and we'll do what we can. But you know what? It's all in God's hands. He's going to shut it down in his time. But he will not end this thing until every one of you are ready to go. He'll not end this thing until every one of you got one foot already in the kingdom and the other one's ready to go. And along the way, there might be a place where you got to take your need and you got to give it, you got to cast it before him, because he doesn't want you to take those burdens into there. Over there, we'll bear no burdens. Over there, we'll shed no tears. Over there, we'll have no divorces and we'll have no broken families. Over there, we'll have no sickness over there. None of that will be over there. So slam it down on this side over here. Give it to God and say, Lord, open up that door for me. How many of you would like to have Brother Burley's church sing again?
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're going to sing one more. You guys, come on. We're going to sing one more, and then we're going to turn it over to Reverend Williams.
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid. In bearing all my sin and shame, in love you came and gave. Amazing grace, Thank you for this love, oh Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hand. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace.
Encourages, you know. I just thank God. I always look at the word of the hour. It helps us to understand the present and then look forward to the future, because everything been prophesied where it's going to take place, so we already know where we're going. And that's very, very comforting. Amen. About anxiety and all those types of things, attacking people, but it's a cure. I just believe, regardless of what you go through, it makes no difference what it is, your answer is in the Bible and in the message. That's what the answer is at. You got marriage problem, the answer is in the message, it's in the Bible. I believe anything can be fixed that the devil have broken, distracted. I believe he come back to the word, it could be fixed. Do you believe that?
Amen. Amen.
So they're going to sing a, you ready? Okay. I was just talking a little bit before they can get ready. So we just let them worship. They're the singers. I'm just the preacher. Amen. May the Lord God bless you. We do feel at home. And I was telling one of the saints, the church is just like a second home to me. And it is, being here over the years. I consider Brother Barry a good friend. And you know, we're good friends, but we don't talk much. We really don't. We don't talk much, but we're friends. And I got a statement that I always use. I don't need you to be my friend when you understand me. I need you to be my friend when you don't understand me. Can you still be my friend? But there is a friend that stick closer than any brother. And that's God. And nobody can understand you like him. Amen. So we'll let them sing this song. May God bless you. Amen.
Nine eyes to Amen.
The source.
Yeah.
Of my strength.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
If God is the source of your strength.
Amen. Amen.
The source of the strength. I'm here to tell you that source does not run out. Amen. We're nothing without Him. We can't do nothing without Him. He's our all and our all. Is that right? Thank God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word that you've given us this morning to encourage our hearts, oh God. Lord, there's nothing, oh Father. We have the answer. You have given us the answer for the devil's questions. You have given us even the answer to the solutions that's in our. You give us solutions, oh God, to problems that in our lives. It makes no difference what we go through, Father. Everything has been orchestrated by your hand. Every trial has been predestinated. You know what you're doing in our life, but Lord, let us catch that vision. Let us look into the words of life, and that's where our comfort is in, oh God. That's where our hope is. This world is falling apart, but the bride of Jesus Christ, God, we're coming together. We're not looking for a descent. We're looking for an ascent, Father. And we just thank you for what you've done in this hour. And I pray, oh God, you continue to bless Brother Barry, oh God, and the assembly here. The work that the things that have been accomplished overseas. Getting this message translated. Father, you everything, the devil cannot stop nothing. Oh God, he can't stop nothing. Because everything you got for that word to get to your elect, there's not a devil in hell can stop that. Amen. It's going to get there, Father. So, Father, we're so thankful for your grace and mercy this morning. And I was just so excited when we heard the word of God. How you brought an earthquake, oh God, right into a prison house. Through singing, through praise. But that earthquake was designed not to tear down a building. But it was designed to break chains.
Amen.
That earthquake was designed to make doors open. And I believe, oh God, your word had came forth this morning, Lord. When you made the prison doors come open, when the chains fell off, only thing they had to do is walk. So God, you don't made a way. You don't showed us a way through the opening of the word. All we need to do now, oh God, to step into the vision.
Amen.
Oh God, we thank you for your grace and mercy. And may you be with each and every one of us, Father. We're just so thankful and glorious what you're doing for your bride. Father, we give you the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we pray. And the church says,
amen.
Amen. I want to say one thing. This is what you don't know, Brother Barry. One thing. People try to burn this message down. It's crazy. I got an email before I come here. It goes to show you people track you. They track you down. I'm just shocked. I come out the doctor's office, bad news, and then I get an email.
I got the same email.
I hear you're going to be at Barry Coffee's. We want you to repent of your false teachings. I said, my God, they even tracking me everywhere I go. You know what my response was? I'm praying for you. Because they're the one that need it. Now, I'm saying that because I know they're watching now.
Amen.
I want you to know, whoever you are, I'm praying for you.
Amen.
Have a little good male sense. Have a little good male sense. If this is not of God, it'll fall. It'll come to naught. But I want them to know this is of God.
Amen.
If you want to leave a message, leave it. Just go on. I just want to address that to my followers. God bless you.
I don't write those troublemakers back. You might, but I don't write them back. But I should write them back and say, you know what? I've listened to Brother Burley preach a long time, and I ain't heard nothing false he said yet.
Amen.
He's all right in my books. Amen. Folks, we hope you felt welcome and at home among us, and may God bless you. It's certainly been a wonderful time together. May God bless you and enjoy your lunch. You folks want to join in, you're sure welcome to do that. We got a Mexican restaurant here that'll it'll take your breath away. I'll tell you that. All right, hey, let's sing a song. My hope is in the Lord. Key of F. Keith's going to lead out. Let's sing it as we go this morning. Make sure you shake hands with one another. God bless you. Wednesday night, Brother Aaron Ningamaza will be here ministering Wednesday night. God bless you as you go.
My hope is in the Lord from this time on and evermore. Oh, my hope is in the Lord. The living sacrifice, the only source of life. My hope is in the Lord from this time on and evermore. Oh, my every rising sun to meet the sinner in his brokenness, to offer healing and forgiveness, and those who trust in him will find their hearts at rest. My hope is in the Lord from this time on and evermore. Oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore. My hope is in the Lord. Hey, my hope. This is in the Lord from this time on.